Are y'all thankful this morning? Man, y'all all real quiet for somebody who's real thankful. God been good to you? Y'all doing silent worship? Come on. Amen. Are we having a funeral? Are you thankful? Is God good? If you're in the South, they say all the time, God's good all the time. You know why God is good? Because God is God. Amen. Has he been good to you? May I tell you what? You ought to be able to thank him. You ought to be able to praise him. Amen. You say, I don't do that. If your team wins, you cheer, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of you talk louder and you praise God. Amen. You say, I don't like this guy already. It's all right. I really don't care. I learned a long time ago, I'm not in a popularity contest. God's been good to me. He's been good to you? Amen. I'll tell you, there's been a lot of valleys, there's been a lot of mountains, but you know where you live most of your life? On the plains. Amen. Some of y'all, you just got comfortable. Man, God, they're going up there and sing.
Yes, sir.
Man, you can ask them, as soon as they hit them first couple notes, man, I was like, oh, I'm in. We're good. We are there. Amen. Why? Man, I have a fit. I was listening to a song coming up. I drove up from Dayton, and I was probably about a half hour out. Man, I got to shouting and almost lost my voice. And I went, you idiot, you're supposed to preach. You better calm down. You ain't going to have a voice when you get there. God's good. Amen. You know, there's a problem with some of you. Y'all listen to all this junk of the world and everything. You ain't got nothing to be happy about. You're all sad, looking around, worried about this, worried about that. Let me ask you something. What are you going to be able to do about all that stuff anyway? You said, would you see where the stock market went? I guess I ain't got no money. I don't care which way it goes. It don't matter. Y'all worried, what about this? What about that? There's new disease. There's new this. There's always been something. Somebody said, well, you know, they were talking about a recession, all that. Now, some of you around here, I'm not real old at all. My kids think I'm ancient. I'll be 64 in November. I'm not old at all. Amen. See, there's somebody around my age. You can tell the people around those ages because they amen. You're like, yeah, that's good. Man, I remember back in the 70s and 80s, man. So, man, my wife and I, we got married. We celebrated 41 years here yesterday, and it's a blessing. But I'm telling you, we had youngins. I'm telling you what, the dollar, you don't think a dollar goes far now. Y'all seen what it did back then. And some of you folks that are a lot older than that remember worse times. Let me ask them, did God bring you through? Is God always taking care of you? And what are you complaining about? I haven't even gotten the message yet. That's just for free. Amen. That's no extra charge. Amen. You say, you charge it? No, I'm just glad God allows me to do anything for him. You know, when I see the theme of the meeting and all that, and the verse out of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding. He's more than enough, right? He has more than enough. Let me ask you then, why don't you believe that? And what are you complaining about? What are you whining about? What's going on in your life right now you don't think he can handle? Is he more than enough? You know what I find interesting in preaching the Word of God? People say, preacher, quit telling me how to live. It's my job. You say, well, I don't believe you. Well, that's in chapter 3. Chapter 4, verse 1 starts off, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Then after that, he tells you how to live. You all right? You're just hoping I'm done already, that's all. No, I want to try to be a help to you, amen. You know, sometimes we've got to look in the mirror and just be honest. You know? People say, man, you're going bald and you're ugly. You ain't the first one to recognize that. Won't be the last. But I really don't care. I learned a long time ago, man, when I was a kid, I was a little skinny dude. I'm talking about little skinny dude. Well, I was kind of a tall skinny dude, actually. I was a kid that if you let something down the sewer, they help me by my legs and you reach down and get it. You know what it's like to be 6'2" in junior high? and you got size 11 feet, you look like a clown. So he said, I bet you're a great basketball player. No, man, that took coordination. You had to run and bounce at the same time. That wasn't happening. Running, I could do. Stand there bouncing, I could do. Same time, wasn't happening. And then you get glasses. Y'all remember them glasses from the 70s. Hey, you know what? You should hang on. Well, the prescription wouldn't work. But hang on. They're in style again now. Oh, somebody there today got these great big glasses. I'm like, dude, my kid made fun of me with these, and now it's in style. I'm going to dig out the old ones, get them back out. See, now I'm cool. Back then, I was just four eyes. Right? You know, I learned getting picked on and all that. Couldn't do everything everybody else could do. I was a nobody. Still am. Amen. Zero at the ring kicked off. Animated dirt balls. I mean, that's what we are. Amen. You say, well, I'm something. Yeah, keep telling yourself that. But you know, I learned that, you know, you just got to be what God made you to be. You don't need to be somebody else. Some of you're trying to be somebody else. Quit trying to be somebody else. Just be what God made you. I learned that when I went in the military, and I learned, you know what, from that point on, it just didn't matter. I don't care what anybody says. You can poke fun at me all day long. I'll still sleep just fine. Not worried about it. Amen. Some of you got problems, you got troubles, you're like, I can't sleep. You trust in the Lord or you trust in you? Who you trusting? Amen. People talk about jobs and all that kind of stuff. I tell you what, there's a lot of folks got pink slips, weren't expecting them. God able to take care of them. So the economy's a mess. There's a shortage of this. There's a shortage of that. There's always going to be a crisis. Always will be. Till we get home and be with the Lord, there's going to be a crisis. Do you think it's bad now? Thank God we're not going through tribulation. Amen. Or maybe you're going. I ain't going. I heard about a preacher we talking about, you know, the tribulation period. I ain't worried about tribulation periods. Somebody said, what about the Antichrist? I ain't going to be here. I'm gone, man. He's blowing the trumpet. We're out of here. He can have this mess. You ever think about this? When the devil tempted Jesus, he offered him all the kingdoms of this world. The creator of the universe, you're offering the ghetto. You know, I mean, what do you got to offer him? Well, look, here's all these kingdoms. He's like, are you kidding me? That'd be the slums in heaven. He said, there's slums in heaven? No, it's figure speech. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus 23. I want to try to be a help this morning. You know, I find that so many times, especially I believe in this day and age, the reason a lot of things are the way they are is not because of the world. The world's always been messed up. The world's always been away from God. The problem today is we don't have it. And Brother Greer talked about it there. We have church, but we don't have churches full of people with a relationship with God. We've got religion. I remember years ago, we used to get down on the Catholic Church. All they got's religion. And now we got Baptist church that are the same as the Catholic Church. They just got religion. You go to church, you know when to shake your head. You know how to sing the songs. You had to do all that. When you walk out of here, you ain't no different than the guy next door. You know what you need to do? What he was talking about, getting the Lord, you need him. First, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Then you need to decide who you're going to live for, you or him. And you know what? He's never done me wrong. He'll never do you wrong. You may not like what he does, but everything he does is for your benefit. Amen? He doesn't do anything in your life that is not for your benefit. Even if you don't like it. Amen. Exodus chapter 23. The Bible says in verse 20, behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. Let me say, when he says he's going to cut them off, what's that mean? He's going to wipe them out. Right? So God said, you go up there, and the enemy you're going to face, I'm going to wipe them out. Right? Let me ask him, is that a promise? Yes, sir. I mean, that's a promise. That means that's something they ought to be able to count on, right? Okay. Verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Now look at this. He said, I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. Let me ask you, when he said all the people, did he mean all the people? He didn't mean just some of them, right? He said, I'm going to do them all. All right, that's important to remember now. Look what he said. He says, I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. You see, what's that mean? Well, if you're ever in warfare, if they're turning their back, that means they're running the other direction. How would you like to have a God that says, I'm going to wipe them out, I'm going to kill them, I'm going to take care of them, and the ones you see, they're going to be running the other direction? That sounds pretty good, don't it? It does sound good to me. He said, and I will send hornets before thee. This is one of the craziest verses I think about. Can you imagine? And I don't know what you see. Okay, I got an imagination, all right? I come one day, we play with toys outside. You had to have imagination. Today, they don't have that. Amen? But you think, I'm going to send hornets before you. Now, have you ever stirred up a hornet's nest? I mean, just a nest. Now, I have to say, I have been victim of doing that. Amen? You say, what'd you do? Do everything that you do when you're dumb. You poke them. You get them all irritated, and then they get after you. Amen? Now, some of you have done that, I can tell. Amen? But you know what's interesting is, think about it. Here you're coming up. You're coming up to a land, and you've got the enemy, and God says, I'm going to send hornets. Now, you can hear the buzz in them things when they're around you close, right? But can you imagine them being lined up for the battle? And all of a sudden, what was that? And then here, and it starts to get a little dark for a minute. And there they go. Man, you'd be excited, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh, yeah. Oh, you're going down. You're going down. Oh, yeah, we got them. Yeah, y'all in trouble now. Because if they was coming this way, we'd be y'all in trouble now. You wouldn't worry about nothing, would you? He said, which shall drive out. I guarantee they'll drive out. They come up in your house. There's enough of them. You'll get out of there. Amen? He said, drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even to the Sea of the Philistines and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. All right, now turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Doing a little reading here to get us set up, but never hurts us to read our Bible, does it? Numbers 13, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give. Notice what he said, that's something he gave. He prepared that land. He told them before he's going to give it to them. And now he said, now I want you to go. And this is the land which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. I don't know if it ever dawned on you, but these spies weren't just some random people they picked out and said, oh, let me see, I need that guy there, I need that guy, I need that guy. And he says, I want you to get a ruler. This is somebody important. Somebody's got some status in the children of Israel. A ruler. And we're going to pick out these rulers, and these are going to be the spies we send to the land. In verse 6 it says, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now, you see, he's in this list of men in the newly formed nation of Israel that are rulers, and they're being sent into the land of Canaan to search it out and bring back a report. And they do that, and for the sake of time, let's go down to 13:27. They go into the land, and they come back out with a report, and it says, and they told him and said, they come back, Moses said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, when he says this is a fruit, you go back. What did they do? They found clusters of grapes that were so big, they carried it on a stick between them. Now, I don't know about you, but if it takes two men to put them on a stick between them, that's some serious grapes. That's serious grapes. Let me just say this. Listen, you know what's wrong with some of you? You have forgotten the grapes. You see, what's that? That's representative of the blessings of God, the goodness of God. The Bible said the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Some of you have forgotten. You're all worried and you're all panicked. What about the fruit? You've forgotten about the fruit. Amen. Brother Greer talking about it, he said, you know what you did? You forgot about what God's already done. Some of you this morning, like, well, I remember when I used to walk with God. You know what happened? You forgot the fruit. All right, he says, nevertheless, even though that, they see the fruit. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. That doesn't sound like a good report. Sounds to me like they're full of fear. The title of the message is this: No Fear, Have Faith. You know what's wrong with a lot of you? A lot of you are walking in fear today. You got to get out of that business of fear and start walking in faith. You see what's that? That means you really got to trust the Lord. Do you realize that's what your salvation is based on? Some of you say, well, it's just believing. There's a difference from just believing and trusting. You see, what's that? All right, I can tell you, I believe this bench here is going to hold me. I believe it's going to hold me. You believe it's going to hold me? Of course. Everybody, oh yeah, I believe it. But how do I prove I believe it? By trusting it to sit on it. You see, not only I believe, I trust. And here's what some of you, oh, I believe God can do this. I believe God. But you don't trust Him. You're not leaning on Him. You're leaning on you. And you're going to fail. You're leaning to some people, well, if we just had a different party in the White House. I got news for you. I'm watching a mall party in the White House, and I don't care where they come from. They're all the same crowd. Yeah. Amen. Just different to degrees. If you're looking for them to change, man, you're barking up the wrong tree. It ain't going to happen. You say, well, if we just had Trump back, yeah, well, good luck. He said, you get into politics, I don't worry about it. I pray for it, and I don't worry about it. Because I've learned a long time ago, it don't matter which one's in there, who does what. Did we have some better times there? But if your faith is in Him, where's your faith now? Some of you, that's why you're discouraged, you're full of fear. What are we going to do? Because your faith's in who's in the White House, not in the Savior. I tell you what, if we could get God in our house and in the church house, it might change the White House. We don't have a walk with God. We're so worried. Some of you can't wait to hear what's going on. It's all bad. Pass it around, all that business. Don't worry about it. You want to try an experiment? It's really kind of interesting. Do this. Listen to the news this afternoon, and then don't listen to it all week. Turn it back on Friday, and you'll find out nothing changed. It's all the same stuff over and over and over again. Stop looking at things through your eyes and believe the word of God. You see, Caleb, he stilled the people, says here in verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us do what? Go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I'm telling you, you're able to have the victory. You're able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. As I recall, God never said that was a prerequisite for them getting into the land. Who said He would fight for them? God did, right? God even sent hornets. Who can, I don't have to worry about if the guy's bigger and tougher than me. God sent hornets. That's all done. Our problem is we're trying to do so much on our own flesh and through our own eyes that we're not allowing God to do what God does. You know what God's looking to do? God's looking to get honor and glory through our lives. And if we'll submit ourselves to Him, He can do so much through us and even for us you can't even imagine. But instead, you'll be like the 10 spies. Oh, we can't do it. We can't do it. And you know what you find out about fear? I've learned this a long time ago, and it's true. We see it in the Scripture. Fear travels faster than faith. And you know what? Fear puts panic in so many people. And here you've got Caleb trying to tell him, listen, we need to go. We need to go now. We got the victory. We've got this. Our God's got this. Our God gave us a promise. Our God's able to deliver us. No, no, there's giants in the land. I don't recall God's promise saying, my promise is good. Well, unless you see giants. Now, if you see giants, I'm backing up. God isn't backing up because there's a giant in the land. You know who backs up? We do. Listen, we don't need to back up. We just need to say, Lord, that's a big one. And you know, when I grew up, we had a saying, it used to say this, the bigger they are, what? The harder they fall. You know what you say, Lord, here's that mountain. Well, here we go. Lord, give me strength to climb. Most of the time, we want God to move the mountain. God might be trying to get you stronger in your life. It means you got to climb the mountain.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. Are you going to think you're going to climb alone? You think you're in this thing all by yourself? Not if you're saved.
Amen.
If you're saved, God's with you the whole way. So no matter what you're facing, you say, have you faced troubles? Listen, I have faced about every kind of trouble known to mankind, it seems like. It seems like, because there's always some new twist. You know? If you do good, listen, I've pastored a church and watched a church devour itself. It was no fun. I've nearly lost my family several times from good, godly church people. You say, well, why didn't you quit on God? Because God never quit on me. God's not the problem. You understand the things you face in your life? God's not the problem. Bro said it earlier. He said, we blame God. God, why'd you let this happen to me? God's like, really? I mean, you're the one who did this and did this and did this and this happened. And now you're blaming me? Really? God made a promise. And Caleb says, hey, listen, God's word is true. God said we can do this. We need to go right away. We need to do it right now. We're not going to wait. We need to get at it right now. The brother said, when you pray, you come up here, you have the intent. That's true. Our problem is not that we don't have good intentions. Our problem is this word called procrastination. He's a big enemy of mine. He's a good friend sometimes. Amen? You might, well, we'll put it off. We put it off. You know what Caleb said? We got to do it right now. Listen, you know, one thing I see happen a lot of times, you get under conviction, God speaks to your heart. You know why you don't see God do a lot of things? Because you keep fighting him in here. You're fighting him in here when he speaks to your heart. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart about something and the invitation's given, you sit there and your pride keeps you from surrendering to God. And you fight him and you fight him and you fight him and you walk out the door and you're just the same as you were when you come in because you won't surrender. And when you come up here, sometimes it isn't that you come up and pray, it's not that you don't pray, it's you're not praying right. And you say, what do you mean? Okay, here's what happens. The Bible said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Okay, so you got all these young men over here. That's a good looking crowd right here. I called you guys good looking. Sorry, smile. All right, here's the thing. God convicts your heart, and I don't know anybody in your sin, so if a point yours out, that's just God talking to you right now. So this gentleman right here, let's just say he's got a problem of lying, okay? And so God convicts him and says, you're a liar, you need to confess, you need to get right. He gets under conviction, and so he comes up to the altar and he says, now God, you know, I'm not what I ought to be. God, you know, I need some help. That's how you pray a lot of times. You come to the altar, you're saying, oh God, you're not getting that. He said, if we confess. In the military, I was a police officer. You know what that means? When you want a confession is when you say, I did it.
Yes.
That's a confession. Not, well, you know, if this guy hadn't done this, and if this person hadn't done this, and that person had to, that's not a confession. That's excuse making. What you need to do is you need to come up here, and if it was him, he'd come up here and he said, God, I am a liar. I got a problem with lying. God, would you please help me with lying? You see what will happen? You know what will happen? God will make a change in that young man's life that will turn his life around. You see why? Because he's come up and he's dealt with a problem. Some of you, you keep praying and wonder why God doesn't answer your prayer because you're not really asking for forgiveness. You're just asking God to ease the pain a little bit. Come on, God, ease up on me a little bit. And God convicts you. Ease up on me, God. Take it easy, God. I'm trying. God doesn't want you to try. He wants you to confess it and then just do right. You say, well, what if I mess up again? Do right again. Confess it. Do right again. Confess it. Do right again. Caleb tries to calm them. They won't listen. They ended up rending their clothes, Joshua and Caleb. And, you know, God makes a promise to them that he's going to take them into the land. He's going to supply their need. And he makes Caleb a promise. He tells Caleb, he said, listen, when the children of Israel go into the land, he said, he's going to give him all the land that his feet trod on. So in other words, when they went in, they kind of went in like surveying the land. And they were given a promise. And you read down through there. But just to summarize, and to stay within the time limit, unless you want to be here. I mean, we've got all day. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just kidding. But here's the truth is that Caleb was given a promise. But there was a problem about that promise coming to pass. You know what the problem was? Those 10 spies. Why? Because then they sowed fear into the entire nation of Israel. And so at first, it was Joshua and Caleb saying we can do it, and it was 10 to 2. And then that 10, which is why majority never rules, is probably a pretty good idea. Then that 10 gets the whole nation of Israel. And I'm guessing, and some of the scholars are going to give me some numbers, but it had to be at least over 1 million people, maybe several million people. And all of a sudden, that whole crowd is against them. And they actually get ready to stone them. Now, the good part about it is God shows up. And you know what you find out? Some of your trouble when you feel like, man, it's it, and everybody's against me and everything. You know who'll be there for you? Lord, he'll show up. Lord showed up for him. And you know, he made a promise and he told him, he said, listen, he said, Caleb, I'm going to give you your part of land. And everywhere your feet trod, that's going to be yours. But here's the problem. You're going to have to wait about 40 years. And you know what he had to do? Caleb had to go through a time of wandering in the wilderness, and he wandered with everybody else. So they're all in this thing together. And he's watching. Can you imagine knowing everybody your age is dropping off and they're dying because of their rebellion against God? Because that's what he said. Until all of them that rebelled against God, 20 years over, until they died off, nobody else could go into the land. Man, can you imagine how that must have been like, just knowing human beings? If this brother here, him and his family, if he's one of them that rebelled against God, and he's still alive, and then all of a sudden he dies, and then here I am being Caleb, and I'm still alive. Can you imagine his family looking, well, you just think you're better than everybody else? Well, you just think you're special? How do you know God's not going to kill you? You think you're so right all the time? Do you think that was easy all those years, watching all those people? 40 years, that's a long time. All that time. But you know what? God was with him. I was thinking about this morning. When he gets down to the other, he says, I'm 85 years old and I've got the same strength I had when I was 40. I'm like, man, wouldn't that be good? Yeah. Amen? I'd be willing to go back to 50. Amen. But anyway, but the truth of the matter is, he said, listen, you got that strength. So I can imagine him getting up in the morning. And you know, they say one of the first signs of getting old is when you groan sitting down or getting out of a chair. It's crazy because the first time you're like, oh, you're like, did I just do that? I did not just groan getting up out of the chair. But can you imagine, Caleb, he gets up in the morning, he's like, man, I'm feeling good. And he's walking out here and he's putting on years. And everybody else, don't you hate some, I don't know, I hate some people, they're like, oh man, I'm telling you what, this getting old is terrible. You're like, how old are you, 50? I'm like, really? You aren't even there yet. I work part-time in a funeral home and we'd be moving stuff around and some of that involves moving people and sometimes moving very, very large people. And that can be taxing. And so we'll get some of the younger guys. And I found out the younger guys, they seem to have a more difficult time sometimes. I'm like, come on, let's go. We're going to do that. And they're like, how do you do that? And I'm like, how do you not? I'm like, how old are you? You're like 50? Thank you. But not like Caleb, 85 years old. The strength when he's 40. See, where'd that come from? Him believing God, him trusting God. And listen, for 40 years, he continued to walk with God. He continued to walk with God. Even when the rest of the children of Israel weren't walking. And the children of Israel, they were up and down all the time. But you know what he was? He was consistent. He was consistent. He was consistent. You know, when you see these faithful older men and women of God, you know what you know about them? They were faithful when they were younger men of God, younger women of God. And you know what faithful is? They've just stayed with the stuff all that time. Troubles up and down, they just stay steady. Troubles up and down, up and down, they just stay steady. Just walk with him. You'll be all right. You young people, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You want to avoid a lot of trouble and then be able to handle anything that comes your way? Walk with him. Walk with him. You know, it's interesting. He brought up David. You know, Caleb tells him, we need to go into the land. We need to do this right now. We need to obey God. And it always brings to mind Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. You know what we do? We say, all right, I'm going this way. Lord, bless me. How often do we seek him first? And then when everything falls apart, we blame him. Well, God, I prayed and you didn't this. God said, well, listen, if you would have asked me at first, I'd have told you don't go that way. I'd have told you go this way. This would have been the easy way. But you decide to do your own thing. The children of Israel are whining and complaining against God. You know, Caleb said, look, this is the way God said to go. This is what God said to do. He trusted God. He believed God. Do you realize every time David got in trouble, he never inquired of the Lord? You know what's interesting? Every time he inquired, Lord, should I go or should I not go? The Lord told him. And when he obeyed God, he went fine. The brother brought up, hey, listen, when he got in trouble with Bathsheba, you know what his whole problem was? When it was time when kings go to war, he didn't inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, should I go with my troops? Should I be out there where I'm supposed to be? What would have God told him? Oh, that's where you're supposed to be, David. Get out there with your troops. He'd have never seen Bathsheba. But you know what he did? He wasn't seeking the Lord. You know what's going to happen in your life? You're going to get in trouble because you're not seeking the Lord. You're not looking for his guidance. You're not looking for his direction. Why? You're afraid. You're afraid of everybody, but the one that you should have godly fear of is the Lord. Do you trust him? You know, I find out somebody, if they don't trust you, they're not going to ask for your help. Maybe that's why you're not asking God, because you really don't trust him. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid he's going to hurt you? You don't need to be afraid. You think about when David numbered the people, did he inquire of the Lord before he numbered the people? No. See, God didn't want him to number the people because God wanted him to have his trust in God, not his armies. And he proved that through the whole Testament with the children of Israel. Why did he take Gideon down to 300? So God would get the glory. Why is God doing some of the things he's doing in your life? Because he wants the glory out of your life. You're not just a sinner saved by grace, although that's what you are, but you're a child of God that God loves and that God wants to take care of, but he wants to get honor and glory from your life. He wants people to see you and say, man, there's something about them that's different than everybody else. That joy of the Lord, you walk with him, even in the midst of trouble, because honestly, your testimony about a walk with God comes when you're going through trouble and you have the joy of the Lord. Anybody can be happy in good times, but man, when it gets tough and you keep going and you keep going, the world looks as, I don't know how they do that. How did they handle that death of a loved one? How did they handle the sickness? How did they do that? Why? And you say, well, it's just the Lord. God's good to me. See, that's why when they're singing, thank you, Lord, man, that excites me. Because I've been through a bunch of trouble, and God's always been there. And then people say, how do you get through that? Because of God. Are you inquiring of the Lord? Are you leaning on the Lord? Are you trying to trust the Lord? God wants the honor and glory. And when it comes down to it, in the end, what happens? Caleb says, listen, I was given a promise of God. He comes to Joshua, because they're the only two left of their generation now. And he comes to him, you know, he said, listen, God made me a promise that I would get the land that I trod on. And he said, I'm 85 years old. I've got the same strength I had when I was 40 years old. I'm ready for this. I trust God. And if God will be with me, which he said he would be, he said, give me that mountain. It belongs to me. Give me that. That promise of God had been made over 40 years ago, and now he's saying, hey, listen, it took a little while before I got here. It took a little while. I had to be patient. We don't like patience. But now he waited, he trusted, and now what he said, give me that mountain. You know what Joshua said? He said, you're right. God said it's yours. Go get it. Go get. And you know what he did? He got it. He got it. You know what our problem is? We're in this instant society. Give me now, give me now, give me now, give me now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to trust. I'd venture to say some of you in here this morning, you've got fear. Things are going on in your life. Preacher, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I can tell you one thing for sure you can do. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. The Lord, make us really fast, got about a minute or less. Back in January, I had to get a colonoscopy. And when they came out with the results, they said, we found a mass. And we don't have the pathology to prove it, but it's cancer. You need surgery, like, right now. I was still under the influence of the stuff they give you to make you drowsy there, but I could tell by the look of my wife's face was with me that, yeah, this could be serious. And they said, we want this done now. Within the end of the next week, I'd had the surgery. And they took a foot and a half of the colon, got the mass out, found a 1 centimeter spot on my liver. They took that out. And the blood work and everything now shows cancer-free. And I'm thankful for that. He said, what about chemo and all that? They told me that I should do it for 6 months just in case, but I'm not chasing shadows right now. I'm doing some other things, taking care of my health, and God's been good to me. But you know, it could have went the other direction. But you know, I tell people, listen, you know what you and I got? Listen to me. Every one of us, we got today. God gave you today. You could die in a car wreck. Listen, I work at a funeral home. I'm telling you something. You'd be amazed at how quick your life can end just like that. You know what you got to do? Listen to me. Trust Him. Every day. When you go to bed at night, thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His protection. Thank Him for Him being faithful. Thank Him for His faithfulness every night. Then when you wake up in the morning, you said His mercies are new every day. Say, well, Lord, thank You for Your mercy. I sure need it. And God, You just gave me another day. None of us have any promise of tomorrow. Some of you, you're battling stuff and you're full of fear. Be full of fear. Have faith like Caleb. Say, God, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. No fear. I'm not talking about these dumb bumper stickers. Oh, no fear because you're stupid. I'm talking about no fear because you have faith. Let me ask you, what are you struggling with? Let's have everybody stand. What are you struggling with? The altar's open. I'm going to turn over to the preacher. Listen, God spoke to your heart. This message, last message, are you willing to just humble yourself and come down and say, God, Lord, I need that trust and courage right now. Lord, I need to come down here and say, Lord, this is what I need. I'm facing some things, but Lord, I want to trust You. Help me to trust You. There's some that have come to pray. Listen, God spoke to your heart, come now. For the music, for everything else. Listen, just step up and come on, come on. Some other folks are coming. Listen, you want to be serious with God. You want God's help. You want to end up being a Caleb. Listen, if not, you're going to end up going by fear and you'll end up being like them 10 and then you'll be discouraged and you'll discourage others. What about you? Come on.